This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. 9 veteran sports journalists will be inducted into the Greater Cincinnati Journalism Hall of Fame in September. They've reported for newspapers, television, and radio. They've seen some of the region's most inspiring moments on the field and covered some of the biggest scandals in the game. 3 of them are here today to share their memories and talk about what Cincinnati fans can look forward to or not. Joining me now are former sports anchor for Local 12 and WCPO 9 News, Dennis Jansen. Welcome back, Denny.
Thank you, Lucy. Great to be here with you as well.
Great to have you. Bengals Radio Network pregame, halftime, and postgame host, Wayne Box Miller. Thanks for being here, Wayne.
Thank you. In person, finally.
In person, yes. I'm so excited to have you in the studio. And former sports director for WCPO 9 News, John Popovich. Thanks for being here, John.
3 people I enjoy talking to. Appreciating. Hi, DJ. Hi, Box. How you guys doing?
Morning, ever. No, it's afternoon, John. How you doing, brother?
That's right.
Yeah, 2 of you are retired. It's going to be morning whenever you want it to be morning. First, I do want to note that WVXU and Cincinnati Public Radio do not have a role with the Greater Cincinnati Journalism Hall of Fame, but we will be getting some awards during the event in September where the 3 of you and 6 other sports journalists will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I wanted to make that note for our listeners. Okay, I've lived in other places, but I've spent most of my life and career here in Greater Cincinnati. Is there something about sports in Cincinnati that you think is different than other markets? Something that makes sports special here? What do you think, Wayne?
I think it is. I think that Cincinnati is community. I've been in a lot of cities, traveling with a lot of different players and just in life in general, but the community, and I say that word as an inclusive Northern Kentucky, Indiana, there's just a love and appreciation for sports, and I think a lot of it is because of the longevity of a lot of the coaches at the high school level and, the iconic Paul Brown and the Big Red Machine, and then really a lot of players who have gone on to be successful. So when you look at this area, there's just a lot that sports has provided in terms of success and philanthropy and community.
What do you think, Denny?
There's a phenomenon here that we look at all the players and coaches who come here to work, and after they retire, they stay here. So we're doing something right, and there must be some
great
appeal
point
that we natives, like myself, that we don't quite grasp, but obviously transplants find it very, very easy to put down roots here, and that's very flattering as a native.
Yeah. What do you think, John? You're one of those transplants.
Yes, I am. That's what I was just thinking. It's not just the athletes and coaches that stick around, and many of them come back later. The other thing is, I think Cincinnati really likes its history. And part of that is its sports history. And I found that out early on, that I was able to tap in. And when people, you talked about something that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, people like that kind of thing. And I appreciated that too. So to me, it's a unique market. I haven't worked enough other places to compare it, but I do think that Cincinnati loves its sports, loves its local sports. And like any other town, it loves a winner.
We're talking about Cincinnati sports with some Hall of Fame journalists who spent decades reporting on the hometown teams. Do you have questions or comments for them? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Now, John, you just mentioned, I don't know if that's going to be a jinx when you said Cincinnati loves a winning team, because I know some fans over the years have worried that Cincinnati's major league teams have entered this kind of always a bridesmaid, never a bride territory. I mean, Denny, do you think we're going to have another World Series win ever?
It will happen eventually, sure. You look at some of the small market teams that are certainly comparable to Cincinnati in size and economics. It will happen. But I think some contract moves that the Reds have made in recent years really hamstrung them for perhaps, a generation. And they have to just be a little more prudent with their spending and not as reactive. I think Nick Kroll is doing a pretty good job of bringing this team around in the organization. But you need a break, and you got to stay healthy. And that is the great the great leveler for any kind of sport, any kind of sport or pastime, is keeping your people healthy.
Yeah. Did you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I mean, the healthy thing, you think about Joe Burrow last year, and, you know, this team with Joe Burrow at the helm is one of the best teams in the NFL. But not only Joe Burrow going down, but DJ Reader going down. And I think that I think people get a little too wound up about not winning at all, per se. And I said to someone once, I said, the Bengals are one of a handful of teams that have been to multiple Super Bowls. And you got to celebrate that. No, you don't have the Lombardi, but you have success. And so sometimes we get this all or nothing mantra that if you don't get it all, that you didn't do well. Well, you look at the attendance now for the Bengals and the white out, and now they got the orange out coming in, the Stripe the Jungle, and all of these things where the fans are buying in. And like DJ said, it will happen for the Reds. But I think one thing fans forget is you have to have some luck. I mean, you can draft the number one player and nothing happen, and then you can draft a sixth-round pick like Tom Brady, who goes on and wins, you know, however many Super Bowls he has now, lost count. But my point simply is grace comes in handy when you're a sports fan.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun to watch, right? Because yes. You can't predict who's going to win. So you think the Bengals will win? I mean, I know you're preaching it's not all about winning. I don't know that all the fans agree with you, but they've been to the Super Bowl multiple times. You think they're going to win one of these times?
Yeah. And again, I'm not Nostradamus, so, you know, don't go to your bookie and something and say that I got a hunch. But I think that the reality is with this coach, with this quarterback, with the way this team is structured, they're really looking good and poised to do something special, and whether it's this year or some other time, it's going to happen.
What do you think, John? Yeah,
thank you for, if I could weigh in on this, yeah. Thanks, Box, for pointing out that, be honest with you, Cincinnati has had a great deal of success, 3 trips to the Super Bowl, and in my lifetime, they have 3 World Series championships. That somebody goes, oh, they haven't won since 1990. Well, I grew up a Cleveland Indians fan. And I'm telling you, our last world championship came in 1948, which was 2 years before I was born. the Browns have only won one championship, and that predated Super Bowls. That was 1964. So you talk about long-suffering fans. The Cubs talked about that. The people in Boston talked about that. Cincinnati's time is going to come, and it's going to, you know, it's like we take turns. But there's a lot of cities would love to have had the success over the years and the great players that that Cincinnati has had in this town.
Is that what makes people love the history so much, John, thinking about those wins?
Oh, I think so. And you don't have to be even the greatest player in Cincinnati. I mean, there's a lot of players. You know, people talk about the 1961-62 UC basketball team, or they like their Xavier teams that went to the NCAA championship. These aren't Hall of Fame players in a lot of cases, but they are people that contributed to the whole fabric of sports. And it's why we as sports fans live and die on a daily basis with our teams.
You know, we've been talking about some of the teams that have been around for decades and decades. Let's talk FC Cincinnati just for a minute. They've had some success early on. You think there's any hope that FC Cincinnati will win a national championship anytime soon?
I think they might be the most proximate threat to win it all. They just seem to do everything correctly. I mean, they went through a little kerfluffle with coaches, and they seem to have navigated those turbulent waters successfully. Now they've got their front office. Jeff Birding found his role. He wasn't a general manager type. He was a position higher than that. And they've got that just stacked perfectly there. And now it's just a matter of getting the players. And the support has been simply astounding. It's just, and the facility, to think that there was little to no tax money involved in that, that has to make a lot of people feel good and more inclined to support the organization.
Yeah. You think you were talking about how the Reds have been spending money. You think FC's spending money pretty wisely?
From what I can tell, now, you know, for the longest time, I didn't know whether you inflated a soccer ball or burped it, okay? So So
Not your number one sport.
but then again, I remember I was a senior at Elder High School, and Bob Ronkers was our track coach, okay? And he rolled a soccer ball out there one time before we went out on our warm-up run, and guys were looking at it like, what is that? We started kicking it around. And again, that was – but another thing that I remember years ago, there were statistics to the effect that Cincinnati, next to St. Louis and Dallas, had the most – and most successful youth soccer yes. programs in the country. Yes. Now, how that started here, I don't know how it started in St. Louis or Dallas, but in any event, I think those kids have now grown up, and they're, in many cases, grandparents now. Hmm. And so they really grew up with soccer.
Yeah, I worked in the hospitality industry for a part of my career, and there's a National Soccer Association headquartered here. But there's so many soccer tournaments that are held here year-round. I mean, even in what would be considered colder months. And I'm like DJ, I think that this evolution of soccer families created a soccer fan base. And I tell you what else created a soccer fan base was the emergence of our community being intercultural with people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So when you say football outside of the United States, you're talking soccer. And I remember when they launched FC Cincinnati and they got some response immediately from corporate sponsors, it was because a lot of those in that corporate position were from outside this country that said, finally a sport that reminds me of home and my culture that we can lean into. But to DJ's point, the attendance – and the response was astounding. And I think that they caught this perfect sports storm, if you will. It seems like everything FC Cincinnati's doing and the friendly matches and all of the other things that they're doing at TQL Stadium, it really has positioned Cincinnati as a soccer town.
What do you think, John?
Well, I'm from the same era as Denny. So I had little or no soccer experience coming here, but I remember the same stats, and I would about the youth soccer, and SAY soccer is what they called mm-hmm. the Soccer Association for Youth. And I went out and covered a lot of those stories, and I found the sport dreadfully boring, but the kids loved it. And you could see they wanted something. And over the years, I mean, we have had so many soccer teams. Mm-hmm. They've been men, women, indoor, outdoor. Who knows what kind of soccer teams, and they didn't work. But what Jeff Birding and Mr. Lindner put together was just something that I think meant something to those soccer fans, that this wasn't just frivolous. This was something that they were in it. And over the years, too, Major League Soccer has made an imprint, and people say, boy, I want to be part of that. If we're going to become a major league city in another way, Major League Soccer is the way to go. And so it doesn't seem like they've had a misstep yet. They've done really well. And even though I don't understand the game any more than I used to, I really recognize how well they've done. And I just congratulate them on being so good.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back, and we're talking about Cincinnati sports with three sports journalists who will be inducted into Greater Cincinnati Journalism Hall of Fame next month. My guests are former sports anchor for Local 12 and WCPO 9 News, Dennis Jansen, Bengals Radio Network pregame, halfgame, and postgame host, Wayne Box Miller, and former sports director for WCPO 9 News, John Popovich. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. John, I've been back in town as a journalist since 1996, and that whole time I've heard people talk over and over and over about how our teams are at a disadvantage because of our small market size, especially when it comes to baseball. What do you think about that?
Well, it's true. You see the Dodgers and the Padres and the Yankees have all this money to spend, but of course, all that depends on how well they spend it. Jim Bowden fueled that too. Because Jim Bowden used to always talk about, boy, we can't, it's hard to compete. And it almost felt like it was a fallback for him, where you don't hear that as much, even though I think, the teams know it. But they've had to do a better job of signing talent, developing talent, having good farm systems. And then when they do have a good free agent, make sure it's try to make sure that it's somebody that's going to have some longevity and staying power in the city. It's tough. I mean, you know, Denny mentioned the contracts that the Reds have had, and obviously having a big payroll going to Joey Votto for this number of years has really handicapped the Reds from signing a lot of people. But and going after some other players.
But, you know, John, I was just thinking about something that I used to say to people about Junior Griffey, and it certainly applies to Joey. As they are circling the bases after hitting a grand slam or a walk-off home run to win the game, nobody stands up amidst all that tumult and screaming and yelling and turns to the guy next to him and says, you know what, that so-and-so makes way too much money. It does not happen. Have you ever heard it?
No.
But I do think this, Lucy, sports was a lot more fun when we were growing up, and we didn't know and we didn't care how much anybody made. That just wasn't part of the whole function of being a sports fan. We just didn't care. That's after that, agents got involved, free agency got involved, and everything changed.
Yeah. Might have been more fun for the owners, too, because they didn't have to pay as much.
Yeah. Well, no one knew what anyone else was making, and that was the key to it.
Yeah. Wayne, I know that the NFL has more rules in place to reduce the disparities between large market and small market teams, but the Bengals still get criticized for not spending enough on talent to keep winning. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a misnomer. I mean, you know, again, as DJ said, when they're winning, nobody complains. The Bengals, you know, they brought in DJ Reader and they went out and got Orlando Brown, and they've signed a lot of free agents. And, you know, Joe Burrow, with the new NFL structuring where there's no holdouts anymore, they've got the NBA. NBA sets a salary cap structure so you can get your guys in camp. But you think about Mike Hilton, and, you know, you can go on and on down the line. Or sometimes I think it's because it's not a sexy hire. Right? Or a sexy free agent signing that everybody goes, oh, we only signed so-and-so. Well, Trey Hendrickson, I think, was a pretty good free agent signing. I mean, leading the NFL in sacks, and I think DJ Reader when he was here. But I say this all the time. The business of football has gotten in the way of the game of football. And that's because there's so much money available. You have owners splitting billions of dollars in TV revenue. So it is what it is. They became successful. And like any other corporation or entity, when you become successful, people love to talk about the man on top of the mountain and complain about it because they're down in the valley. But I can guarantee you this, first game of the season, there will not be anybody saying I'm not going to the game because people are making too much money and the owners don't spend enough money. Popo said it best, man, winning cures all ills.
Denny, you just mentioned Joey Votto, and the big sports story, of course, last week was Joey Votto's announcement that he was retiring from baseball. His announcement was a bit of a love letter to Reds fans. Sure. What do you think about that?
You know what? I wonder if Joey would have been treated as warmly by the media in Chicago or Philadelphia or New York as he was here, because Joey was a different guy. And you know what? Upon reflection, I read Lee Montville's book of about Ted Williams, okay? I'd had that for 20 years. Finally read it. And I can see now why Joey Votto adored Ted Williams and why Joey Votto perhaps was the way he was, because Ted Williams was a little bit, he was not a mainstream ball player. You know, he was kind of quirky, a la Joey, you know, all of some of the great ones.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, Joey obviously made a lot of fans here, and he had a lot of wonderful moments. But I can think back to when the Philadelphia Phillies, well, they got no hit in the playoffs. And I saw Chris Sabo shortly after that, and Joey had said, well, you know, this is a great platform. This is a building block for us to go on and be back next year. And Chris Sabo was really hot about that. He says, how for Joey Votto to think that you're just going to be back next year just because you were there this year, he said, that is foolhardy. He said, it doesn't just happen.
Ask Dan Marino.
Yeah, yeah.
John, who are the players, and I'm talking any sport now, who stood out to you over the years for better or for worse? Denny was just talking about how Joey Votto was a little bit different, a little bit quirky. I guess I'm wondering, when you think back to all the players you covered, John, who stood out either because of their talent or their personalities or something else?
Well, talent would be Votto. It would be Eric Davis. It would be on football. It would be the Ken Andersons, the Isaac Curtises. I mean, I could go on and on with some Bengal players individually. A couple of going into the Ring of Honor this year. Guys like Corey Dillon that probably don't get the acclaim that he should. But we have seen some really tremendous individual players around here. And then there's the unusual. There's the sports personalities, the Jose Rios. Deion Sanders, when he came to Cincinnati, did one of the most funny press conferences, making Marge Shaw think that she sent a limousine to pick up his family, and she almost fell over. And they're just, you know, sports is fun, and that's what I think. And then there's just the local people, the Buddy LaRoses, who are involved in sports. Raleigh Schwartz, who used to be a very famous boxing trainer. You could go on and on, and that's, I think, sports at its best. It brings joy to us and involves people that like to have fun. That's what makes, just if I go on one more second, Joey Votto probably created the greatest transformation of any person I've ever seen, because he was very rigid. He was very serious. You had to ask him a very particular question to get an answer years ago. And then all of a sudden, in the last 5 to 10 years, he became funny. He became interesting. I think he saw that.
We lost you a little bit there, John. But Wayne, I'm going to ask you, are any players that stand out in your mind?
You know, fair or unfair is probably too many. I will say one, Eric Davis, for a couple of reasons. Number one, probably one of the most exciting players I ever seen play in person, and not just offensively, defensively, as Jack Clark from the St. Louis Cardinals when he went up over the wall twice. But his philanthropy was so expansive, and he didn't want people to know about it. So a lot of times, a lot of players do that. And another player that I would mention is Jeff Blake. As far as excitement, Jeff Blake was a third string quarterback. You get two guys hurt in Cleveland. We're playing Dallas the next weekend. Everybody wrote the game off. We're going to get hammered. And he lit up Riverfront Stadium. And I mean, people still talk about that to this day. So I think that, and lastly, I'll say Oscar Robertson, because he was so misunderstood. Oscar is one of those guys, you have to get to know him and know the pain. And I think a lot of times people don't understand when people, not just athletes, when people carry pain. You know, you're on a basketball team and you go to a hotel and they say, well, they can stay here, but he can't. Or you go back home as an African-American and you're successful, yet you're still treated differently. You carry that if you don't process that pain. And so Oscar, to me, is someone who lived through a lot and knew how unfair it was that you celebrate me and yet you tolerate me. And so he will always have a spot in my heart. And if I could be biased for a moment and say that DJ and Popo, for me, two of the greatest storytellers. And one thing, DJ, I learned from you, I never, never forgot when Bob Huggins allegedly had resigned or quit or something, and everybody just rushed. And DJ held back, because I don't know if that's true or not. I know you remember that, and actually it wasn't true. Yeah. But you were the only one who said, I'm going to get the story straight first before I go on. And in the end, it was his approach, and I never forgot that approach. So when I got on radio and started doing the primetime sports show, and you get these news flashes, oh, this happened and that happened, I would always think back and say, oh, wait a minute, I need to make sure that it's absolutely true.
What would DJ do, huh?
One person I have to mention, and in fact, it's going to be top of mind soon, is Greg Cook. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, Bill Cook has just finished up a book about Greg Cook and his star-crossed career and life, for that matter. It's called Unfinished Masterpiece. Greg Cook was the Bengals' first-round draft pick out of UC, and he got hurt in his rookie year. He went on to be Rookie of the Year, and He had a series of unsuccessful shoulder surgeries that today would be, they might be outpatient procedures. But Greg never recovered from that. And Paul, in fact, Bill's book, he delves into it very deeply with Mike Brown, who got very emotional talking about Greg Cook and what might have been with Greg.
You know, I might be treading into dangerous territory now.
Did we get Popo back in?
Are you back with us, John? Oh, good, good. Yes.
I hope so. Okay.
Yes, we can hear you. Great. I want to talk a little bit about Cincinnati's fans. There, you know, we talked about how FC has had such a great reception, but there have been on occasion a lot of empty seats in the Reds ballpark and the Bengals stadium when those teams are not doing so well. Why,
John,
do you think that,
John,
is?
Do you remember when Pete would look up and say, boy, it'd be a good day to paint the red seats? So this is not something new.
John, do you have a take on that? Why do some Reds, why do not just Reds, but why are there empty seats sometimes? Does the cost of the tickets, it's getting more and more expensive?
Well, that's
games.
Part of it. That's part of it. I've gone to a few games this year, and a baseball ticket is not easy, because then you put a beer and a brat on top of that, and it's like, oh my. But it's also winning. You know, you're more energized to spend some money if the team looks like they're going to be pretty good. It's simple as that. I think that you want to go to the game, and you're willing to go the extra distance if the team's winning. And like I said, I think that solves a lot of problems. And, you know, maybe I don't know if FC Cincinnati will continue. I don't know how even their ticket structure is. But, I wish them great success, and hopefully they always have a full stadium.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, if your team is not doing well, the number of entertainment options you have now versus 20 years ago is significantly different. So if your team was losing 20 years ago, you may still go because it's just
nothing else to do.
Nothing else. But I think as life has evolved and options have surfaced and people have a lot of different things to do. I mean, let's be honest, we have one of the best arts and theater communities in the entire country and other things to do. But I think about a funny story of Bernard Clark. He was a linebacker that came here from Miami, Florida. And he said, I've never seen fans boo like that. He said, maybe we should go on your job, and when you make a typo, boo! To let them know how I feel. Yeah.
Well, I've been talking with former sports anchor for Local 12 and WCPO 9 News, Dennis Jansen, Bengals Radio Network pregame, halftime, and postgame host, Wayne Box Miller, and former sports director for WCPO 9 News, John Popovich. Thank you all so much for your time today. It's been
a
lot of fun.
Box and John, congratulations. Thanks, on the Hall of Fame. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Yes. I'll see you, my
Thank
brother.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.